Hello, welcome to Frusa Live. I'm Matt Stoltz. With me is Mikola Sousa and Joseph Frusa.
Hello.
We're happy to have you guys here for episode 47. We've got a fun episode with actually a longtime friend of mine that's going to be joining us and talking about how they are improving baseball with 3D printing. So let's hop into the show. We've got a great one. Let's start with our printables picks of the week. What do you have, Mickey?
I have a print that you can actually already see. Someone said, Balu said echo in the chat. Someone always says echo in the chat and then everyone else says the audio is amazing. So I don't know about that, but let me know. But yeah, this is like a succulent terrace. There's a cacti in it and two succulents, and yeah, it's filled with soil and it can stand on your desk. You don't really have to water it because, I mean, succulents and cacti enjoy being left alone for extended periods of time, which is kind of perfect for an office plant when you sometimes, you know, are not there for a week. So that's mine. It's by Chrome with Q. It's actually quite a popular print on Printable, so I'm sure you may have seen it before.
Mickey, when was the last time you haven't been in the office for a week?
For example, last Christmas. And that's going to happen, and my plants always suffer every Christmas.
I mean, all of us are workaholics.
It's not true, no. Yeah, but I mean, we were at Formnext, and
yeah,
when that kind of ties into a weekend.
Yeah, but you know what I meant.
Yeah. Yeah, happens. No, but actually, I think I took a week vacation during the summer. I'm lying. It was during the summer. But I digress. That's my print. So you can find it on Printables. Matt, what do you have?
Fantastic. So you know, Christmas holidays are right around the corner here. So I have the reindeer printable card.
This one in
Mystic Green. So you snap apart the different parts of the reindeer and you build a little stand-up reindeer. And, you know, I think these are good little presents. We kind of think about presents as being, like, big things, but, like, this, like, would tuck into a card with something. You can print a whole bunch of these and, like, hand them out to the neighbor kids, and, you know, you're not necessarily have a big investment. You know, they print quick and, don't take up a lot of filament.
Spot
Great
on.
Little thing just to hand out, yeah.
I've printed at least 3 dozens of them last year, as exactly like a small present, because you know, when you meet like the kids of relatives, it's like you don't really get a big present for them, but these were extremely successful because then they play with it, they assemble it. So I agree. It's a great pick.
And the nice thing is now they're starting to be like 4, 5, 6, like there's a whole bunch of these like holiday snap together cards, as well as like other like non-holiday themed ones. So you know, there's a bunch of them out there to do, but I have a favorite in the reindeer, so that's the one that I picked.
Awesome. Joe?
So with me, I have something kind of special. My print of the week, I didn't print myself, but a guy
you outsourced made, it
kinda. I mean, and it is also, you know, quite easy to break away from all the plastic which is not part of the model. If you check out Filament Frenzy on Twitter, Tom Jackson, he...
Let's do it right now.
He printed a G-code I sent him, and, you know, I love it. It is a demo of our new organic support, which are going to be in the new Prusa Slicer.
They are just so good. I'm addicted to them. We will talk about them some more in a few minutes.
Yeah.
So this is like a little teaser for what's coming in this stream. But yeah, it's a joy to remove. And yeah, wow, Tom picked a really nice color to print with and did a great job. Looks awesome. Yeah, the underside.
Awesome.
Looks great.
I get chills from these pictures.
Yeah, so we'll go right back to that very soon.
Yeah, we'll catch back up on that soon. Speaking of the reindeer and holiday things, our holiday contest is running right now. So every year we do some kind of holiday ornament contest at the end of the year, and it is actively running. So go if you're looking for ornaments, that's a great place to go check out, as well as the past year's contest. But, you know, if you have any ornaments that you're thinking about designing, it's a great time to get them in the contest and see if you can win a printer for Christmas.
I'm already printing some of these submissions, so even when the contest is not over, you know, feel free to go through the submissions, because you will find...
That snow globe vote of ornament, I think, is going to get started here today. I really mm-hmm. like that one. Mm-hmm. I saw it a couple times.
So that contest is happening, and we have some, of course, also running, like...
Lots of contests, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, the measurement devices should be wrapping up soon. Mm-hmm. Of course, another Flash contest will launch Friday. And if you scroll up there, the E3D Buggy contest is ending in about 2 weeks. So this isn't a contest that we're necessarily running. We are just helping facilitate this for our mm-hmm. good friends over at E3D. To modify their buggy model.
But by the way, I'm sorry, I'm a little bit behind. What is the story behind the buggy?
I think they made a bench. They use it to ride around in their complex, right? At E3D.
Yeah. So they have a golf cart at E3D that they drive around, and rather than just always printing the benchy, they decided to make a buggy themed after the golf cart that they ride around. That has kind of the same functionality as a benchy.
Okay, but last year I remember going up the stairs, and I don't see any buggy which can climb the stairs.
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe an idea?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, so those are the contests that are running at the moment.
Yeah.
And... Yeah, I'm wearing something that's also coming quite soon. So a little teaser. I've been teasing it for a while, but now that's actually happening. So I'm sure we will add that as you will be able to buy it for Prusa meters if you have some store. So that will be really nice.
Fantastic. Speaking of printables, we have some updates to printables that have recently come out.
Yeah.
So, long-awaited dark mode is live.
Indeed. Yeah, I actually really appreciated that today. I was at the, I don't know what you call it, the eye doctor today, so my eyes were a little bit sensitive after that. But yeah, if you just go click on your, don't know if I should click on that right now. Never mind.
Additional features turned on.
A little sneak peeks happening here and there. You've seen nothing.
If you go to your profile page, there you go. Yeah. You can turn on dark mode and you see it reskins printables.
So that's
and Ice Dark theme.
Yeah, it's nice. I think we will still be. I think it looks great. Probably it can be a little bit better. So we will be like fine tuning. We actually made. Like, the devs made a great job developing it in a way where we have like a color palette and we can adjust the colors in a really easy way. So, actually, isn't there a little secret? There might be a little secret how to turn it on and turn it off instantly without actually clicking on anything. So that's something to hunt for.
But by the way, I never saw anyone talking about the special Prusaman deal during Black Friday on printables.
Yeah, but we looked at the analytics and we did get some more people signing up. And yeah, you would get 100 Prusa meters when you fill in your profile. So a lot of the people who were already using printables and didn't have their profile filled in actually did it. And some new users did it as well. So some people took advantage of it. So that was nice. And there are actually some more news that I think one of them was not mentioned anywhere. And I don't know if I can demo it in a really easy way. But when you create a remix, you can now, let's see. So I'm uploading a model. You have all the typical and then stuff. And then you pick that the model is a remix. You can now enter URL... From the internet, so it doesn't necessarily have to be uploaded on printables. It can be from any site, or anywhere, any storage online. And if it's from any of their fairly known sites for sharing models, it will even load the thumbnail and the title and everything. So this kind of makes it really nice to not break the link between like the original creation somewhere and you know, this person is now using printables and is uploading it to printables, so it can still link to the original creation, which I think is really nice. So that's like a nice improvement there. I feel like I'm still missing some new things on printables. Matt, do you have anything?
The new award system around mates.
That's right. Yeah. Good point.
It is kind of out or not?
It's out. Yeah. It's live.
We didn't do announcement around it, but we think it's fair that you get more meters for makes of models which don't have that many makes instead of
the number of points you can get each month is the same. But yeah, exactly. If you find a model which is nice, but it doesn't have many makes yet, you will get more points. But you know, if you upload a make of the Benchy, which has 2,000, almost 500 makes, then you will still get Prusa meters, just a little bit less, because you know, arguably, it's not so useful to anyone really anymore.
Yeah, but I mean. Benchy makes sense, but a lot of people, you know, when they wanted to get the monthly number of meters, they just printed the easiest and simplest stuff which is available, and we just think it's better to support printing something new and test it.
Also, like right now, I believe we're giving more Prusa meters to non-designers than designers, and I think this is like a small thing to kind of steer it a little bit more towards designers rather than. I mean, we still reward people uploading makes, but this is just like a little fine-tunement of that.
I would say steer it a little bit away from the farmers of meters. To the people who actually want to print new stuff.
If you just upload normal makes regularly, I think this will affect you. Very little. If you hover the info box here, you will get more information about how this works. It's a little bit of a black box. There's a lot of stuff happening. But yeah, if you upload 20 makes in the same day of some very little known models, obscure things, you will get a little bit less for each of the makes.
And one side of the black box is we're open to tweaking this more. So as we see how this works, we can more easily tweak in the back end to kind of make sure that we're finding that happy balance.
Well, definitely. But from my point of view, we don't make any money from printables. It is made because there was no decent place for the community to share the stuff. And when we spend kind of a lot of money on giving out free stuff because we want people to share what they make.
Yeah,
I would love it to be something more genuine instead of when people just try to farm it. And this is one of those changes in this regard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we want to support the actual community, the makers, and not just people who are kind of trying to take advantage of us and of the system and just get the free stuff.
But Mickey, always we joke about it basically every week. The funniest is that people who cheat the system they're like spamming our customer support.
Yeah.
I didn't get my voucher. Why is that?
I hope that one day in the long future we will be able to go back and show everyone the measures that we have in place, because I think they are really cool. But right now the strength of them is partly that people don't know how it works.
Yeah, but ultimately what you can't cheat is, you know, every voucher which is generated
is checked
by a human being.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, so that's that. There are more things coming to printables.
But one more thing. I think we gave out a second voucher for Mini.
That's true. We did. Yes.
Nice.
So that's in the rewards. And yeah, one game-changing thing coming to printables in the near future. I'm going to leave it at that. That's it.
There was a heated debate before the call started of whether or not
I mean you need to give away a little bit more to get people excited.
Those who looked very closely already.
Okay.
So that's it. And
all right. So we've got some new firmwares out. The mini firmware with Wi-Fi support is it fully released or is it?
Yes,
another
it's,
beta.
It's out. It's not a beta. Okay. It's not release candidate. If you have a mini, you can flash this firmware, and you will have the Wi-Fi support if you plug in the ESP. We actually support different boards, and yeah, it will flash both the mini, and then the mini will flash the ESP. It's really cool.
Yeah, but there's one thing from the meeting. We should address.
Yeah.
This update is special because you also have to upgrade the bootloader.
That's true, yes.
Which is a little bit more complicated and takes longer. So if it fails, don't be scared, just do it again. You can never brick.
Yeah, you cannot brick it.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, there are things between heaven and ground which we can't affect.
Yeah, but it will be extremely rare. Generally, you will just be able to reflash the firmware and it will be completely fine. If you go to help.prusia3.com, you can pick the mini and you can flash the latest firmware. You can get it from GitHub as well. This is just kind of nicer way. So that is out. And also, the Mark III firmware, right?
Right.
So GitHub already knows that I'm going for Prusa Slicer repo. I always go for that. But if you look in Prusa firmware releases, the release candidate one for the 3.12 is out. So with the thermal model protection, which we explained a while back, so the Mark III will really closely look at what's happening with the temperatures of the heat bath and the nozzle, and it will stop or tell you if something's weird.
And I would love as many people as possible to get this. Obviously, you will hear from people who have some aftermarket nozzle, but there's a calibration for that. But I think this is how any problem with heater for the safety reason should be checked, because the idea is that printers has or thinks about how much energy should put in, and if it doesn't match the expectation, it just says, hold on.
This protection is incredible. It's really like level above what you generally have on a 3D printer. It's nice. We've been somehow talking a lot, and we still didn't get to the big thing, and I don't want to get the amazing guys, our guests, waiting. So I guess, should I just
we still have time. Okay. I've got time in our budget.
I'll go through it rather quickly, and then we can get back to it after the guest segment and the contest.
Sure. So, Slicer 2.6.
So, yeah, I guess everyone's seen the thumbnail. The organic supports are, I don't know what to say. They're incredible. I'm addicted to using them. So yeah, if you imagine a model like this, you know, lots of islands, these parts starting in the middle of nowhere, and you would just turn on supports, you would not see the model at all. It would just be a block of supports, and that you would spend then 20 minutes ripping it out. You would probably break parts of the model.
Mickey, you would never see that because this is a model for SLA printer.
Yes, exactly.
And no one would even dare to slice
it
for FDM.
That's exactly true. So, yeah, I don't know where to start. I guess, yeah, if you go into print setting supports in the upcoming version of Prusa Slicer we are working on, you can switch to organic. There's also three, by the way. There's quite a bit of difference. That's why we called it a different name. I guess one place where I could show it, you've shown a really nice difference between the Tom Sprint.
Yeah.
And, let me see. I will just find it super quickly.
I mean, the worst part is that what we have as organic, people think as a tree.
Yeah, yeah. So, but you know,
but what you are just showing, this is organic.
This is our organic, and then this is like your typical tree supports.
But I don't see any tree in that.
Yeah. So, I digress a little bit, but yeah. So that's the difference, and yeah, they are just an absolute joy to remove. That's another little teaser, something that will be hard to decipher what's going on. But I mean, first of all, I kind of don't want to remove organic supports from models that have them because it looks kind of amazing already. But
it looks like they're being attacked by some kind of alien creature.
Yeah. Rather than, you know, spending half an hour trying to get it out and the result being kind of bad anyway, like here, you just kind of wiggle it a little bit, you pull, and then you have the whole support and the clean model. And how amazing is that? It's like it's really remarkable.
I mean,
how these work.
I mean, for me, there are two special things. First is when you are printing on Excel, the super large prints, it just saves so much time.
Yeah, on the Excel, it's so good.
And on the Mar3 side, it's like, I would never dare to print models like that on FDM. I would just go to SL1S.
It's true.
But I also want to give a shout out to Thomas. I don't know how to pronounce it. Thomas Ram, who started this for Cura, and we you know, polished it and finished it for the Prusa slicer, and you know, we spent months and months on making it production ready.
There's been a lot of development in the past few weeks, so the alpha is throwing a warning every now and then. But yeah, it's been evolving very quickly from the tree supports to then ditching that idea, kind of moving to this new style, and then really working on them. Like, one of the thing is it saves even so much filament because they are completely hollow. They are essentially vase mode. One of the, you know, optimizations that happened in the past few weeks is that, for example, these thick branches, or what do I call it, these starting pillars have now two perimeters, so they are very stable, and then it gets to just one higher up when it's thin. And there's a lot of these optimizations happening. Painting still works, which is it's incredible. You now even have this automatic painting that's like 2 days old or something, so that's really good. And yeah, it's really kind of a game changer, at least for me. You can approach FDM printing a little bit like as if it was an SLA printer, and it will just print.
And we would love to release the 2.6 alpha before Christmas, but you know, it's a lot of time to get it out, a lot of nights of work. And I think what would really motivate the slicer team would be if you vote for Prusa Slicer in 3D Printing Industry Awards.
That's right. Those are happening right now.
Nice transition.
Yeah, yeah. So if you enjoy what we do, we would really appreciate if you vote for us. I will paste the link in the chat. And yeah, we would really, really appreciate that. So if Prusa Slicer wins, are you saying you're gonna push the team to release the alpha sooner?
I would say this would happen organically.
Okay. I see what you did there.
But I mean, Prusa Slicer is like 14 people now, and for them, they are working a year on a feature. It is just nice to the guys to see the reward for all their hard work before it gets sloppily pulled into other slicer.
That's true.
And the Prusa team is nominated in a bunch of other categories other than that. So you can support a bunch of different aspects of the team by going and voting.
Yeah, but why I did this nudge? Because we were not nominated with Purchase License.
This is the like one category where somehow we didn't make the nomination, but you can still vote for it by ticking other and typing Purchase Slicer.
Sure.
Okay, let's get back to Purchase Slicer at the end of the stream if we still have some time.
Oh, no, we have time. We've got 5 minutes in my schedule.
Okay, let's show some more cool stuff. I guess I have one in particular that I want to show, and that's look at this new fancy icon of a ruler.
So
I'm so excited about this.
Let me ask the chat, who was expecting this?
So yeah, some, you know, measure tool is super useful, but as it happens with our Purchase Slicer team, they always go like a few steps beyond what you would expect from such tool. So, you know, this model it's triangles. There is no such thing as circles or anything like that. But if I hover over a hole, it will actually detect a circle. You know, I don't know how they do it because all they see is triangles. But they reconstruct read the topology and they recognize shapes. So you can click on a circle, you can click on another circle. And it will tell you the distance between them. And that's still not it. So, like, imagine you have a, you know, something on the model that needs to be a certain length. So if you need to rescale the model, normally you would have to, you know, measure it and then do the math, you know, on the side of like, okay, so how much do I need to scale this so that 36 becomes 78? And, you know, it's not hard, but you would have to do it. But now you can just type, oh, how about the distance between these two holes is not 200, but 100. And you just say scale, and it will scale the model so that this one distance changes. So that's kind of incredible. It can do a lot of things, really. You can measure, you know, point to point. It's really quite something, and I'm still discovering everything that you can do with it. I'm sure I'm missing more in-depth features that it has. So
yeah, and this feature is a year of life of one developer.
And yeah, it's
and
everything.
These guys need a shout
the
out.
The chat really seems to love it.
Yeah. So that's what I want to show from Purchase Slicer right now. The problem with introducing four game-changing features at once is that one can overshadow the rest of them. Yeah. So we still have one more stream before the Christmas. So I would save something for the next stream as well.
We will see if we push it out or not.
Yeah.
For this release, yeah. But I would say it would have the same, if not more, of the wow reactions for that feature.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Fantastic.
So I think we can leave it there.
Yeah, a little bit mysterious.
Okay.
I just wanted to say, I teased Tom with a G-code, but I would love to next week publish, you know, like five models with the organic supports. Not just for the Mark III, but for Vorons and some Creality printers, so people can test it out before we release it and find out how awesome the organic supports are.
Sounds great.
Awesome, that's great. All right, let's bring in the Diamond Kinetics team.
Hi guys.
I will let them introduce themselves, but this is the Diamond Kinetics team. They are making devices to help train you to be a better baseball player, and teaming up with some pretty big names to do so, like the Major League Baseball. But they are using the SL1S, right there it is, the SL1S to help prototype their products. So if you guys don't mind introducing yourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Mike Ressler. I'm the CTO at Diamond Kinetics.
Yeah, and I'm Pierce Robbins. I'm an R&D engineer at Diamond Kinetics.
Pierce has been doing all the hard work and getting his hands dirty, sometimes literally with the SL1S and our FDM printers. But yeah, happy to talk about what Diamond Kinetics does. We've been using the SL1S pretty extensively in our recent updates to our product line. So we manufacture, as Matt said, devices that help read the baseball swing and pitching motion. So it is a sensing platform. It is these tiny little devices. Mika's putting that on there. There's the SL1S in action. And so these little devices go onto sort of the knob end of a bat. And there's one on. It's got a little attachment. Some bats, this can actually seat into it. And so with just this tiny little IMU, inertial measurement unit, that has an accelerometer and a gyroscope, we are able to read the entire swinging motion. So we get a lot of data about what that swing looks like. And there's an early concept for us being fully embedded in a bat full time. So we've increased the battery capacity, and we've been using, you can see that black on the right there, that clear insert has a black insert, which I'll hold up here. And a lot of that has been enabled with the SL1S and what Pierce has been doing. So we needed to print in lots of different materials, which the SL1S really helped with. It might not surprise you to know that there's lots of vibrations.
Yeah.
and to sensitive electronics, that is not great. But you know, we are able to get full 3D, and we want to protect those sensitive electronics and that lower durometer material that we're able to print there with the SL1S. It has been tricky getting it always to work, but it's amazing when it does work. It's like magic coming out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been an extremely powerful tool for our engineering and design process to be able to, in real time, basically in the same day, right, come up with a new design, print it out, and then test it. And like Mike mentioned, certain configurations of this design, they experience a lot of force when that ball hits the bat, especially for our embedded sensors. So, you know,
can you give us any ballpark? Like how many Gs?
We can. Do you want to benchmark this? I saw there was like a car running into a concrete wall, and it was something like 60 or 90 Gs, and it just exploded.
Yeah. Yeah. So we recorded on a couple different occasions impacts over 10,000 Gs, sometimes up into 12,000 Gs that hit the sensor. So it's a lot of force, and it's obviously an impact force, so it's really short duration, and it can do a lot of damage, both to the sensor, to the plastic, so.
And the bats.
Like, yeah, the bats especially,
break,
right? too.
Like,
yeah.
Those bats will break when you get something.
Let me grab, I have the one right here.
Oh yeah, we've got some broken bats and some embedded bats. Oh man, if you pull that picture out, that's a fun one.
Oh yeah, I wish
okay,
I had
here
that,
we go.
But, yeah, this one snapped clean off for us with the sensor inside, and it worked, so.
As we're doing our testing.
So for us Europeans, we don't play much of a baseball here, but even though I know for the league it's mostly wooden bats because the aluminium are just too good. So
yeah,
can you tell us, you know, if you have the data, what is the difference between the wooden and the aluminium?
So a lot of the regulations go around regulating what that COR, the coefficient of restitution, is on those bats. So in the aluminum world, they are trying to bring that down so it's not quite as good and quite as hot. And that's been a spicy topic somewhat in the world of wooden and metal bat manufacturing in baseball and softball. But they've dialed that down quite a bit, so it's fairly close to wood. But we actually didn't do any shock testing on wood, so I don't know what the shock levels are in wood versus metal. We've been mostly focused in metal because that we think is going to be our hardest and most challenging environment.
Yeah, and I think the idea behind that too is the wood bat would break well before our sensor would break, right? Because it would definitely break under 10,000 G impact. So.
Yeah.
So are you using some like semi-flexible resins or just like tough resins, just the model designed in a way that it protects the electronics?
Yeah, great question. So in a lot of places, so this model will go into a sort of a housing, which we will both the flexible about 70 Shore-A durometer material here. And then a hard, it'll be ABS plastic, I think, at the end, and somewhat translucent, similar to what you guys had up on the screen before. So you can see the internals. It'll be a cool STEM thing, hopefully get kids into STEM. But then it will be something like this that will go onto the knob of a bat or embedded full time.
Yeah. So we use a combination of materials, though, for sure. So we use that 70A durometer softer material, and then we try to closely approximate an ABS-like plastic. That'll be our final design or our final material that we use.
Yeah, and so what Mickey's got pulled up here, right? So on the left there, we've got our earlier last generation, previous generation. That one was rechargeable, and I had up in my hand here, and that's what ends up glowing. We turn it on with a couple taps, and you can see a blinking LED there. But we're taking away the rechargeability. We're making rather large batteries, and we're going through several iterations here to see what sort of plastics would house all of that well and do a good job of vibration and make sure that we can assemble it pretty quickly and try to cut down on mold costs and keep things injection moldable. Because while we're just prototyping here on the SL1S, we'll probably turn this into something that's injection moldable just for scale as we go and grow. But the ability for us to go like from these early prototypes, like there's so many iterations in between that we've been able to, and it's been great to just go back and forth with the R&D team that Pierce is leading, and putting these models together sometimes just the next day, getting it back in hand, being like, ah, yeah, that's great, let's roll with it. Or like, ah, it's not going to work, and here's why, has been pretty phenomenal. I don't know how people used to do this, right?
Yeah,
this
is we wonder that all the time, yeah. Right? How you would do it without this printer. It's been so useful and so quick for us. The turnaround time has been great.
It's kind of, yeah, surprising when, you know, it's faster than FDM printing, in a way, when you print something.
Oh, the SL1S.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. And with the new resins, I mean, people, most of the people in the 3D printing community who just, you know, print figures, they have no idea if they switch their mind that they might pay a little bit more for the resin, you know, which doesn't come from China. What the resins can do.
Yeah,
it is amazing, like the new stuff.
Yeah,
I was shown.
I don't know if you've probably haven't used our flexible resins because they're not out yet, unless we sent you some really early prototype. I don't think they left the factory yet. Probably not.
But I'm guessing they would be more than happy to take a beta model.
So yeah, we totally need to get you some, and because we have some flexible resins that we developed in house on the way. It might be really, really nice for your application.
Yeah, I mean, one of the challenges that we had with the flexible resin is dialing in the settings, and just there's no community around it, or there's less of a community around it, I would say, in getting them all dialed in. So having you guys backing us in that research would be great.
You will get a profile for the SL1S, and if you know the Dragon that we use as like the demo print for the tough resins, I've seen it printed from our flexible resins, and if I just saw it on the table, I would not be able to tell it apart from like normal non-flexible resin. But then you take it and you can squish it like a ball, which was I thought I would lose some detail because the resin would stretch during printing, but it was minimal. So, yeah, it will be nice to have.
That alone, the big ones.
Mike, real quick, there's an ongoing conversation in the chat wondering how you communicate back to the sensor.
Yeah.
Actually, Mickey, if you want to pull up the tech stack real quick, I've sent over a quick image on that. So it's all Bluetooth connection between the sensor and an app. And so that Bluetooth connection we have, and there are smarts running on here. So there's a sensor, inside the sensor, there's a chip that has got, it's doing enough smarts to segment what a swing is and send that over for further analysis on device. So you see one of the swings that we have. So it's Bluetooth connection there. We have a publicly accessible API, and then a web front end. We have a number of clients, several teams and several big names inside of baseball that access that API for their particular player data. We're building it out so it's a little bit more open, so everybody can get access to it, so that moms and dads can also have access to their kids' data if they want to do something cool.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the ball up, which is so cool. That's one of my favorite things. that we do at DK to just pick up a ball and throw it, and then it turns on and is reading the entire pitch. Like, this is magic. Like, this is cool that we have a sensor, and you know, the sensor is working and doing things, but we have no way of telling anyone anything about the state of this ball. There's zero modality. It's just like the electromagnetic, the EMF that we have. So this one is an early Gen 3 that I've got in my hands here. It is this device, right? So it's this polyurethane foam that we encase everything in. And just like the other electronics I was showing you, they're all Qi charging. So we have to get that Qi all the way out to the outside of the ball, which is why it has to be encased in polyurethane. But as we switch to primary batteries, we can do some pretty cool things where we don't need that anymore. And so if you bring that back up, this is what the internals of a ball look like. And so we're replacing this rubber core with a smart core, which is what ours will be. So this is an early prototype. Kind of looks like a Death Star. So we've been calling it a Death Star, which has been fun. So all of our testing names and all of our prototype names are all named with Star Wars, which gets fun because it all started with the Death
Star.
That's
nice to keep it fun. Yeah, I enjoy that.
Yeah. I mean, I
should have labeled it there.
I wonder if some things you see in Star Wars are printed on Mar3s.
Yeah, we know that some of them are.
I don't know. Yeah. I can't talk about this. when I saw the first picture, I wanted to ask you how do you charge it and what batteries are you using on the bat sensor?
Yeah, so the bats at the which batteries? I don't recall exactly, but it
doesn't matter.
Yeah,
but
and then.
Why I'm asking, and I have so many ideas. So during COVID, when I was really bored, I picked up golf. And as I am a tech guy, you probably know it, I got Arcos sensors.
Arcos, yeah.
And it sucks. And all the time we are talking, I just wish you guys would do like a proper sensors. I know it would cost probably more, but I mean,
there's people in the chat saying the same thing of asking if it could be adapted to like golf and tennis. I think.
Yeah. So there's.
I think Krusty was asking.
Yeah, and Mickey actually brought up a good point, right? Like the crossover to timely topics now with the World Cup going on.
Yeah, the football ball that's kind of making the circles on the internet that, like, yeah, that ball has a sensor inside that helps the external sensors that look at the ball where it's positioned.
But I think they already have this technology.
No, they had the external, like the eagle eye from...
But that's tennis.
Yeah, that's tennis. And then they had it for football, but now the ball, they're charging the footballs before the match.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. I mean, you just need high-speed cams because...
But now...
Computer vision can recognize the fucking white ball. Sorry.
It's actually interesting, right? So yeah, we have all the high speed cameras, but to get down to the precision centimeters precision, you do need something like an ultra wide band for positional, and then the IMU on board actually gets to intra frame, right? We can sample over several thousand times per second, so we get all that. We can integrate and see that position at any resolution. So that's where it gets pretty interesting. And their balls will do that. Our balls, we don't have ultra wide band going on inside of our balls or devices, but maybe Gen 5.
Do you measure the spin? Can you measure the spin of the ball?
Yeah, so that's really important for pitching. So the spin on the ball is obviously very important, and then how it travels through the air is a big thing that pitchers are going after. And if they can get somebody to swing and miss on a ball that's dropping instead of a ball that's rising, that's what everybody's chasing in the sport of baseball.
I can only imagine like what a game changer like your ball and bat must be for the teams, because I would love to, like, I'm not even that much into baseball, but just like, what if it spins this way and you hit it this hard, and what if it spins like a little bit less, and what impact it has on how far it goes, how predictable it's in direction, everything.
I would say it must be like a butterfly effect kind of things. If it's 1/10 of a millimeter up when the contact happens, it just transfers so much energy to the spin and just goes who knows where.
See, I I feel like Diamond Kinetics now needs to put a batting cage at Earth next year. Come out to Earth with a batting cage and everyone can try it out. Yeah.
Joe and I can commiserate on how much a booth costs. So $500,000 later, we'll be talking about it. I know you guys were talking about that last time. There really is a butterfly effect. And I will say, as somebody who is sports minded, Matt knows my history here, but I've been in sports and tech for a long time. Baseball is incredible, right? The ball and just the little changes that a pitcher can make that are nearly imperceptible, and then the ball changes and flies dramatically different, is so wild to me that anyone would ever be able to hit it. And then to even just stand next to a ball that's sizzling by your head at like 95 miles an hour and it makes a sound, it's traveling so fast. These are amazing athletes that are playing the game at the top level, and it really is a butterfly effect, to you guys' point.
I've often heard that baseball is very much a binary sport, that like plenty of other sports you can go out and you can be good enough, but baseball you can either like have the guts to stand in front of a 95 mile an hour fastball or you don't.
We used to when we had in the before times, new hires, we would take them to a batting cage and we would get a pitching machine and we would haze everybody, but you'd have to at least stand in there while the balls are sizzling by. Now, Pierce didn't get to, so I owe you that one. But yeah, it's pretty impressive to just hear the ball go by you that fast.
But I would say, as we are talking about the butterfly effect, that, you know, tenth of a millimeter makes a big difference. I think it is a wonderful demo for how humans are, without even realizing it, so amazing. Because if they, you know, spend a decade in training, even though they shouldn't be able to perceive, you know, like 1,000 frames a second of the ball movement, they still can get a feel how to hit it right.
Yep.
More often than
not. Right. And like solve that optimization problem, right? If we think about it in robotics terms, like there's an optimization to have the bat meet the ball at precisely the right time. It's in space is incredible.
Yeah. For the robot to hit it, it would have to have a lot of high speed cameras tracking it, you know, and doing super computational stuff to react in time.
Yeah.
But, you know, squishy brains can do it in a decade without knowing the exact, just by the feel. Yep. And I think that is amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. And it's the way that we help all those athletes is to give them a little bit extra, a little bit more knowledge on how their pitches are performing, how their bat is moving in space, and what they might be able to do to get that little edge here or there.
Yeah.
And we, you know, pitchers and hitters. So we're both sides of that.
Yeah, By any means, I didn't want to, you know, discount what we are doing, because I...
I know
what I mean, because, you know, for the people, if they want to get from the certain point when it's just the feel to really understand it more, they need to, you know, have some metrics to couple the feel with some data.
Yeah.
If I do this, it changes the data this way. If I do this,
right.
Yeah.
So it can deepen the field to the next level.
It really does, and that's what I like. It makes it a lot more interesting. It deepens the game to me.
We've got a spam bot in the chat.
I just used the Ben hammer and it's gone.
Okay, good, good.
Got him.
I was trying to, but my laptop was being fussy.
Yeah.
All right.
Do we still have some more time for some more questions, Matt? Or how are we doing time-wise?
Yeah, we've got a couple minutes.
Fantastic.
So, chat, do you have? I think there we got through at least some of the questions from the chat, so that's nice. I wonder if when you do the printed core with the sensor, can you get like really close to how the league ball is, because then you are getting, you know, you are getting data for the modified ball, like how difficult is it to get close to the league ball?
That's a really good question.
Yeah, so a lot of time and design work has gone into making that core as close as possible to the court core that goes in a normal ball, right? So we've designed the housing, so the outer case, and then the insert, and distributed that weight in materials in a way that we're actually, I believe it's less than 1% difference in the moment of inertia on each axis. So basically, it's talk about human perception. I mean, I'm sure if you were really elite, you may be able to. But I mean, less than a percent, it's gonna be very difficult to tell the difference. If you threw them a ball, a real ball, and then one of our smart balls,
that's great.
A lot of times.
You have advantage from my point of view when I picked up golfing. You know, the ball is so small, and every now and then someone pops up that we can make a ball which is GPS tracked. And then it vanishes. But, I mean, you just can't fit it in. But with this, you have so much more space to work with.
Look at all the room. There's so much.
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
Imagine if you had a soccer ball, though. What could you put in
there? Yeah.
I mean, in soccer ball, it is... How do they, like... Do they hang the sensor on wires in center?
I'm assuming there's got to be some kind of scaffold inside the ball to hold it, because otherwise it'd be bouncing around.
I believe so. Yeah, I don't think it's on the outside, although I might be wrong. So, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of the IMU technology is very transferable sport to sport. So they exist out there for sport for. Golf, obviously, tennis is out there. There's lots out there. We're very focused on baseball and softball. We think it's a nice big market. It's very fun for us to play in.
And I mean, the accelerometers and composites, the IMUs over the last 10 years, I mean, it completely changed. I remember before I started 3D printing, I was doing a project, and I hacked one of the first iPhones to control RC car by accelerometer. They used the sensor, which was for something else in those first iPhones. But now, thanks to all the smartphones, this is just so much more advanced. I mean, it's tiny, super cheap. It costs nothing, and it has 9 degrees of freedom. Some of them do like sensor fusion, so you don't have to do all the difficult math. It's just bonkers.
Yeah, ours has a magnetometer in it too, so it's sensing the Earth's magnetic field. But you think about that as all thing to sense, but yet it's doing that how many hundreds of times per second is wild to me. It is magic in a box, and it's so small.
And the ARM processors who can do it real time, process it, and take zero power and just transfer it over Bluetooth low energy. For free and lasts weeks on a battery.
Yeah, we're hoping to have ours last for 2 years. So the big energy draw for ours was the LED, right? So this thing was actually sucking down quite a bit. So we're doing what the LED and should last for years.
Impressive.
Fantastic. Well, guys, this has been a pleasure. Mike, it's always great to catch up. Mike and I have known each other for about 12 years now. When he was a member of the first Hackerspace that I founded. So you've already changed volleyball. Now you're changing baseball. We can't wait to see what's next. So
thanks, guys.
Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, thank you very much for this great printer.
Yeah,
it's been great. Look at 2.6, and I want to know what's coming out. So I'm gonna tune back and let's see what's dropping. Good deal. Right. See you guys.
See you guys. Lovely topic. That was really interesting. That was cool.
Yeah.
I mean, to process all the data, I mean, the swing is just, I don't know, tenth of a second?
Yeah, like, how crazy. Yeah, they must be running, I don't know, like 16 kilohertz, I don't know, maybe more, just like, you know, to get the...
Yeah.
Okay, I guess time's running out. Let's go for the Twitter contest.
Let's do it. So, as you guys know... Sorry, my computer wanted to apply a Windows update right now.
No.
So as you guys know, every episode we have a little contest where we ask you guys to send us photos of the things that you are printing and tag them on Twitter with hashtag Bruce Alive, and we pick out some of our favorites and send you guys some filament. So who do we have in third place?
In the third place, we have JV Lobo, who not only printed but designed this mini basketball game. Yeah, that looks really fun.
I totally want to print one of these. I think it would be a ton of fun.
My productivity at work would probably go down a few percent if I had this on my desk. But
I remember having a kind of similar game when I was like tiny kid.
Yeah. So that's a really nice job. You can even get it on printables. So thank you for uploading it there, JB Lobo, and congrats on winning the third place.
I love it.
That's really nice. Okay.
All right. Who's
in the second place? In second place, it's Offbeat Printing, Jason, with his spooky Bulbasaur printed on the MMU. Okay, so first of all, thank you for like perfectly adhering to the rules. That's the print on the print bed as it is. Yeah. I love Bulbasaur. Who's your starter from the Gen 1?
I think I played a lot with Bulbasaur.
You did? Nice.
And sometimes Charmander. But have you played the new Pokemon game?
No, not yet.
I was about to, but then I saw how unoptimized it is.
Maybe you can play it together over Christmas holidays or something. If it's any good. So there was second place. I feel like when we go to the Bulbasaur, I need to do a little suspension before the third place and go to another project, right? That we should mention, probably. And that's from Neil.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I mean,
so that's like the honorary, like, holy grail of, like, Neil going out of town and designing a whole Bulbasaur mini.
When he brought this idea to me that he was going to do this, I was like, Joe's going to love this.
it's incredible. I can't get enough of it. So
have you seen my retweet of it? I mean, we agreed that, you know, I should not retweet anything which should go to PrusaLife. Yeah. But I was just so excited that I did not see the PrusaLife. So I'm sorry, but I'm sorry, not sorry, because I mean, no matter what. This should win everything. It should have a special contest just for it.
Yeah, that's I think outside of the scope of our stream contest, because it's incredible. So there was the shout out for Neil, and then we are moving on to our first place, and our first place is from First Layer. How is that? So it's the Wall-E Prince from First Layer, and he's slowly but surely accumulating a collection of
and he's in the chat. He just sent a message saying that he likes your t-shirt.
Oh, really? That's amazing. Oh yeah, I see First Layer. Nice. So congrats.
Hello.
These prints are absolutely stunning, and I really love Wall-E. Oh, what a lovely movie!
The Wall-E's great.
Rewatch it. Yeah,
I was thinking exactly the same, and I would say it's perfect for holidays.
Yeah, it's very also more and more relevant, I guess, as time goes on, and we become the people from Wall-E just staring in our phones. Yeah.
There are more movies which are relevant to that.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, First Layer, that's incredible. Congratulations on winning this month's contest, because those prints are stunning. Okay, and wow, this episode has been so packed, but somehow we are still
barely... we've got 2 minutes.
2 minutes to answer any questions. The mini firmware with the Wi-Fi is out. If you have a mini, go flash that. That's amazing.
Yeah, the Prusa Connect firmware should come, hopefully, before the year's end. The alpha.
Really?
Just with the monitoring, not the upload.
Okay, I've been playing with it a ton recently. I'm enjoying it. There's a lot of potential. I'm not gonna spoil anything. That's
alpha.
Alpha. Can we test 2.6 alpha right now? Not yet. It's not, no build is released. But as Joe talked about, we will release G-codes to start, you know, giving you a little taste of what it can do.
Exactly.
So that's coming. MMU, yes. MMU, I'm looking at MMU with the new firmware right now on the table. I actually had to pause it so it doesn't, you know, interrupt us during the stream. Yes, that's... I think, unfortunately, for now, we have to leave it at... It's coming, it's amazing. I guess I'm just gonna have to leave it there. This shirt is coming very soon. We will put it to our eShop and we will put it to printables rewards for the Prusa meters. Yeah, it's like this in the front and just the little logo on the back.
And but I'm waiting for a black version for us.
I would prefer black one as well.
More, how to say, spatially demanding.
Matte black everything. I mean, I love everything black.
With two G's.
Is the MMU just a software update? No. No Excel news. There's like the last article about the Excel
blog post.
It's quite recent, and yeah, so yeah. I guess refer to that.
And I would just say
Tim Sears says dark mode T-shirt.
Dark mode T-shirt.
Yeah.
It should say like dark mode. It would be really funny.
Yep.
Yeah. But with Excel, I still think that when we send out the beta printers, I think there's still a lot of surprises what people don't expect after seeing the show printers at Formnext.
Yes. Yes, and it should be like a lot of beta units, from what I've heard, how many they're building. That's looking really nice.
And with that, that's our show. Yeah.
Okay, I really enjoyed the stream. It was amazing. Somehow it really flowed well.
It did.
Wow.
That it was a great one.
I can't believe
it's
already an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
everyone out there, we thank you for tuning in. We thank you for joining us. It's been fantastic. From the three of us and the rest of the Prusa team, thank you. And we will see you guys soon. Oh, and we're
in
probably going to... Yes, in 3 weeks. We're going to move the Christmas show up a week.
I was going to ask you about this because the last Wednesday, the last Wednesday of the year, I'm not going to be able to.
Same.
Join.
So we're going to do
it the Wednesday before Christmas instead of the Wednesday between Christmas and New Year's.
It's 21st.
So, sounds like
December 21st.
I forgot to look at the date. Fantastic. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks everyone for tuning in.
See you guys in 3 weeks. Thank you.
See you in 3 weeks.
Stay safe. Keep running.
Bye bye.